And then today is Family Sunday for kids, so kids, hang out with us here today. And guys, I'm really excited. I was talking with Doug this morning, Brother Doug back there, and Doug was sharing some stuff that he's been doing this week and conversations that he's had, and it just brings confirmation because what I'm talking about today is exactly what Doug was talking about. And so I believe that the Lord has prepared this word for us. If you want to hit the button back there, please, and we'll get this. Here we go. So I believe the Lord's got a word for us today, and I've got props. Did y'all see my props? I'll have to hold them up, but this looks pretty dangerous. Wasn't sure if I could bring this into church. I don't think this would get through TSA. But we're gonna talk a little bit about that this morning. And so let me just start by saying good morning and welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. Of course, most of you know, some of you may not. My name is Pastor Mike. And I want you to know that if you're a guest here, welcome. So glad you chose to join us this morning. And I want to encourage you to take time to fill out this little handy-dandy connection card right in front of you, in the seat in front of you, in the seat back. And as a first-time visitor, you will receive an email from me on Monday morning with a list of local nonprofits that we would like to make a donation, a gift to that nonprofit in your name. And if you guys have your Bible this morning, and I hope you do, I almost went and bought a bag of little Snicker fun-sized bars today, and I was just going to go out and hand one to everyone who had a physical Bible with them this morning. I didn't, but hey, maybe you want to do that for next week, huh? Let's see how many people bring their Bibles next week. If you don't have one, I hope somebody next to you does that you can look on with as we get ready to get into our scripture this morning. I'll have it on the screen as well, but it's going to be Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 32. Now, obviously, guys, we're going through the parables, right? And so today I've titled the sermon, As the Mustard Seed. And this parable is also found, if you want to write this down, if you got a pen and paper handy, write this down so you can look at it and the others as well. It's going to be Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. And it will also be in Luke chapter 13, verses 18 through 19. So as you are opening your Bibles to Matthew 13. Let's read our scripture this morning. Chapter 13, 31 through 32. He put another parable before them. Who's he? Jesus. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches." Jesus used this parable to teach the listeners that were sitting around, to teach his listeners about the kingdom of God, mainly to describe the growth and the influence of God's kingdom. This parable illustrates the small beginnings of God's kingdom and its development through the ages. We all know that it was a very small start, right? Keep in mind, God's kingdom was a mystery still at this time. They did not understand the concept of God's kingdom or the concept of really Jesus coming to earth the way that he did. It was common thought, and we see this throughout Scripture. We see this when Jesus is having the triumphal entry into Israel. They thought he was coming to overthrow the government, to take his seat as ruler, to bring peace now. Well, he was coming to do all that, but he was doing that on the spiritual aspect of things. But it was common thought that God's kingdom would appear great and in all of its perfection and all of a sudden. Rather, we know the kingdom, Jesus, right? Jesus is a representation of God's kingdom. He came as a baby. He grew up and he carried out the work of his Father. So we have to ask ourselves, why did Jesus reference a mustard seed to describe the kingdom of God? Nicole was so kind to bring me 10 million mustard seeds this morning. And I just know that you can't. I should have brought tweezers. You can't see how itty-bitty that thing. Can anyone see that? Nope, it's gone forever. Let me grab another one. Can anyone see that? Right? Those things are itty-bitty, tiny little seeds. So why did Jesus use a mustard seed, of all things, to describe the kingdom of God? First off, let's remind ourselves, what is a parable, right? A parable is meant to teach or express a concept with descriptive words so the hearer, those that are listening, can learn a specific lesson or point. So, let's look at some facts. These are things that the listeners would have understood about these itty-bitty little mustard seeds that turned into mustard trees. First and foremost, I know you can't see it, and if I knew it, wouldn't it make a mess and Rochelle would have to vacuum up all 9,999,000 blah, blah, blah mustard seeds on Monday. I would pass them around so everybody could have one because Nicole would still have a whole container left full. This is only 1 to 2 millimeters thick. Itty-bitty, right? Can we all agree that this is itty-bitty tiny? So everyone knew that it was a small, small, small seed. Did you know that mustard plants are the fastest growing garden plant? Fastest growing. And they grow about as wide as they are tall. Some varieties only grow to about 6 feet, so that's about as tall as I am, while most grow to 20 feet, with the tallest varieties getting up to 30 feet. Can you imagine a 30-foot tree in your garden at home? I have to assume, since Jesus is depicting this tree as a tree where the birds of the air come and make their nest in the branches of it, they're speaking of a taller variety, right? They're probably, in their minds, imagining a 20-foot to a 30-foot tree. With it being one of the fastest-growing trees around, they reach full maturity in 80 to 95 days. Depending on the variety, of course. But then within 6 weeks of planting, 6 weeks of putting that little thing in the ground, you can expect your first blossoms to appear on the tree. Mustard trees originated in Persia, in the Persia region. So if you were to look at a map in your Bible and look at the Persia region, you would see that that includes modern-day Israel, Afghanistan, Iraq, Jordan, Pakistan, Syria, and Iran. So it's in that whole region right there. And so everybody knew what a mustard tree was, okay? We're from Iowa. Does everybody here know what corn is? Is there anybody who doesn't know what corn is? Not a single hand in the place, right? We all know what corn is. So if Jesus was here today and he started making a parable about corn, I think we would all understand what he was talking about, right? Has anyone heard the saying, knee high by the 4th of July? That was something way back, like, now if it's not over your head by the 4th of July, you're not doing very well. So I think that we can all sit here today and we can agree that the listeners would have been highly aware and know everything that I just shared with you about this itty-bitty mustard seed. And its impressive traits. It's a common thing for them, just like corn today is a common thing to us. So if you are trying to tell somebody something that remains a mystery to them, something that they don't understand. Now, for Jesus, it was most everyone didn't understand God's kingdom. He had to find a way to describe it so they would grasp it. So the question that we have to ask then is, what did the listeners hear when Jesus used the mustard seed to describe God's kingdom? First and foremost, God's kingdom starts small, but it very quickly grows and spread its branches into an impressive tree that even the birds of the air can make nest in. And when I thought about that, that has more than one application. That has an application personally in my life, and then generally, wholly, through everything, it has an application. So today I want to talk about personally first. When I read this and when I thought about the description and I think about how it applied in my life, how my relationship with Jesus looks, first and foremost, notice that the seed was planted in appropriate soil. Okay? Now, I could reference the parable of the five soils right now. We all know what the five soil parable is, right? We have a light that is going haywire back there. Here, in front of me today, I have five different containers. I promise I'll quickly return this. This came from the parking lot out back. I don't have any plans to keep gravel. But here is a container full of rock. Can everybody see the rock? Yep. If we can't laugh, we're not doing it right. Can everybody see this? This is rocky soil. Can you see the soil in the rock? Okay. And then that's luscious, green, dark. It'll produce luscious green plants. But what this is potting soil. And who knows, potting soil is just amazing for when it comes to planting and growing seeds or flowers or anything that needs nutrients, right? So we have rich, rich soil here. Now keep in mind that the area that they're in that Persia region, it's very rocky. Okay? So we understand that most of their area is very rocky. So I have to ask today, if I took this little mustard seed container of rock and you're not getting that one back, Nicole, and I poured water on this, would this seed grow?
No.
No, right? If I took a mustard seed and put it in that one, would it grow in here? How strong of a plant is it going to be? Probably not very much, right? If I took this mustard seed and I put it in there, is it going to grow? Is it going to be healthy, hardy, good plant, right? Out of all of these soils, this soil is the best suited for growth, for the growing of such a small seed to support it to grow to 20 to 30 feet tall. So let's translate that to us. So you look personally, as I looked personally when I was typing this. This applies to all of us, to you, to me, everyone in here. I was all three of these soils at some point in time in my life. Rock. There's no seed that could be grown in this. There's no soil. There's nothing of life-giving substance in this, right? Then, at one point, I was this soil, rocky with a little bit of dirt, a little bit of soil. Let me come back to this here for a minute because I don't want to miss this. When I was the rocky soil, there was a time that someone would plant the seed of God in my life, and that seed, just like we just talked about, if we plant a seed in water, will it grow? No, it won't. So when they planted that seed, it bore nothing because there was no soil present. There was nothing in my life that was ready to receive. It wasn't that there was nothing in my life to receive, because if God says mustard seed grow, guess what's going to happen? It doesn't matter what soil it's in, it's going to grow. So what does that actually translate to? That translates to that when that seed was planted, I rejected the seed. I said, no, I don't want that in my life. And then at one point, I was this rocky soil where a seed was planted. And if I watered this and I tried to keep it kind of in the... It would sprout. I'm sure that it would sprout. We'd have a little plant growing. And the same for us, that there's times when a seed is planted and it quickly takes root, right? It would take root. There's enough soil in there that would take root. But I think it would quickly die because the roots have nowhere to go because there's so much rock. The water would run off really quick because the rocks don't absorb water. It would be a very, if it did grow, it would be a very stunted growth, a very unhealthy tree. It would be one of those volunteer corn plants that you see in the bean fields. You know how they're always just like 3 feet tall and they never really produce much more? That's kind of how it would look if it was in here, very sickly and not very good. And how does that translate to us? The seeds that were planted in my life, it would start to grow and then it would die. It would be stunted. It would not be healthy. I wasn't ready to live how Jesus wanted me to live. I wasn't ready to let God's word change my life. I wasn't ready to submit my life to Jesus. Is this making sense for you this morning? Finally, and thankfully, I was the rich soil. When someone planted that mustard seed, when they planted the seed of God's kingdom in my life, growth exploded. Growth exploded. It utterly shook my life. It changed my life. It brought me out of slavery to sin. It broke every chain that bound me. And there was victory in the name of Jesus. He has the same thing for each and every one of you. And most of you, if not all of you, would relate to this thing of soil here. But maybe there's some that relate to this. But you're not quite sure that you're ready to let go of XYZ. And maybe you came against your own free will this morning. You're here because you have to be. I promise that the Lord says grow. A mustard tree can come out of this container. If we go back to the rich soil here, growth exploded. And it established, listen, it has established the relationship that I have with Jesus today. Strong tree. 30-foot tree's got to be strong to support it, right? 20-foot tree even. It's a strong tree. It's tall and it's wide. As the mustard seed in the garden that the birds made their nest in. They saw it. They saw the branches. They made nest in it. I was ready to receive God's word and live for Jesus. The man in the parable. Let's get back to the man in the parable. So we talked about it. It has to be the appropriate soil. The man in the parable knew that he needed to plant the seed in the garden or the field, right? Depending on which scripture you read, it can be garden, it can be field. He knew he had to plant it in the garden, the rich soil, the soil that was prepared, to be able to see the seed grow, to mature, and to have a harvest. Can you have a harvest if your seed is planted in this soil? Thank you, Caden. So my question to you today is, what soil are you? Are you full of rocks? Where you won't receive God's word so it can take root in your life? Let's translate that here for a minute. Maybe I should ask it like this. Are you full of pride? Are you full of sin? Are you full of selfishness? That you want to live your way, not God's way. You want to live how you want to live. You don't adhere to anything that Scripture says. Listen, if that's you this morning, I beg you to reconsider. I beg you to reconsider your position. Are you the rocky soil? Are you the rocky soil where you receive God's word, and when it first starts growing, well, that looks like a good plant, right? That looks good. That looks like that's gonna do something. It sounds good. It makes you look good. But maybe we're not actually really ready to give up this sin yet. Maybe we're not really ready to give up this language, this addiction, this desire. Maybe you just want to look good on the outside, but you want to remain who you are on the inside. If we're this soil and that's our approach, we actually restrict the growth of the seed. We restrict what the seed is doing in our life. I would encourage you, if this is where you're at, don't be dismayed. Don't be troubled. Dig in. Search. Search for God. Continue to become rich soil. Right? If I ended up pouring enough of the soil would be okay to grow in. You understand that, right? Dig in and continue to become rich soil. Search for truth, not subjective truth, God's truth. Search for God's truth, and you'll find grace abounding. You'll find Jesus. Don't be the one that goes from the rocky soil back to the rocks. because that would be a hardening of your heart towards Jesus. And maybe you're sitting in here today and you're the garden soil that has been worked, it's been prepped, and actually I just poured this out of a bag, I didn't have to do anything to it, but just assume with me here, that it's been worked, it's been prepped, and it's ready to receive the seed. Where when God's Word is planted, you experience growth. Fast growth, healthy growth. Everything in your life becomes for His glory. You're willing to sacrifice and submit to His will instead of your will. Where you experience love, forgiveness, peace, and hope in Him. Listen, church, this is the soil that we must all become. This is the soil that we need to be. We want to take that rock-only soil and see it turned in to this soil. And ultimately, we want to land here. This is what we want to see. You know what this is called? Well, yes, but this is discipleship. What I'm describing here is discipleship. We take people from this, we get them here, and then we get them here, where when the seed of God is planted, they receive it, and we have growth. We want to see everyone become this 20 by 20 mustard tree that others come to. We want to see others come to those that are being discipled, like the birds of the air, and they become a mustard tree themselves. This is called discipleship. Personally, we all experience God's Word, or God's kingdom in our lives. Now, if we look at this generally, if we take a whole look at this from where it all started, Jesus was born a baby. Can we all agree to that? Jesus was born a baby like any other person. Anybody here not be a baby? We were all a baby. He came to be the sacrifice for our sins. He came to sacrifice Himself to pay for our sins. And is what this did is it opened the kingdom to all who would hear and receive. Now we have the promise of eternal life, which is the hope that I talked about. When God's kingdom takes hold in our lives and we submit our lives to Him and we live in His grace, we have eternal hope. And what is that eternal hope? That one day we will be in heaven with Jesus, worshiping Him for all eternity. Like the mustard seed, seemingly, can we all agree this is a little thing? Like the mustard seed, seemingly a little thing. It takes up but little room. I don't know if you can see how full this container is. I swear there's 10 million in here. That's not a whole lot of room for that many seeds, right? It takes up little room, and it makes but just a little itty-bitty little figure. It doesn't amount to much. And it promises very little. When you look at this seed, and if I had a 20-foot mustard tree in here this morning, I couldn't get one through the front door, I checked, you would maybe not believe that tree came from this seed, right? So it promises little, yet when it is planted in rich soil, it grows into the greatest tree where its reach is far and wide. Like the birds of the air, we in here have found a place to make home in His tree called the kingdom of God. Look at where God's kingdom started 2,000 years ago, right? To where it is today. It is the greatest seed that has ever been planted in all history. You might be sitting here thinking today, Mike, what am I supposed to do with this? How are we supposed to respond to this? Don't worry, I have a solution for you. Here's how God is asking us to respond. Cultivate your soil. We're from small town Iowa. We see field work all the time. We might get angry with all the tractors and combines on the road and we have to go slow, but first off, without farmers, we would all starve. So first off, be gracious to the farmers as they do field work. But we see farmers doing field work all the time. And so I have to ask today, do you know why, and Gordon, you can't answer, you're a farmer, Dal, you can't, Laverne, you can't. Why do farmers cultivate? Anybody know?
So the plants can grow.
Good answer. That wasn't rehearsed, by the way. So cultivating, what does it do? Cultivating breaks up the crusty soil surface, allowing for a much easier penetration of air, nutrients, and water to get deep into the soil where the plant roots can gain access to them. Okay? Do you agree with that, Gordon? Okay, thank you. I was farmer backed. We're good. And as a child, we had a huge garden. Did anyone have a garden as a kid? We had a huge garden in our at our house that fed the entire family all through the year. We were cannon maniacs. We ate out of mason jars pretty much all winter. And there was hardly a day that went by from the first day that we planted the first seed to the very last day, sometime in probably October, that we picked the last pumpkin or whatever, the gourd, the squash off the vine, that there wasn't somebody in the garden working to maintain the garden. It required a lot of work. And if you've ever seen a garden, have you seen a garden that somebody hasn't kept up? Weeds everywhere, the soil is hard packed, the plants are getting starved out by the weeds. It just doesn't look like it's going to bear much. And this is why we have to cultivate. We can use this, and we work up the dirt between the rows. I wish I had dirt here so I could actually do it. If you've seen a garden that isn't cared for, you'll see hard-packed a crust. You'll see a crust that is formed on it, and that is because they have not cultivated the soil. And so if you were to water that garden, what would happen to that water? Most of it would run off, right? The plants wouldn't get that water. They would not get the nutrients that they need. So it quickly runs off. Some of it may soak in, but a majority runs off. And if you don't break the soil up regularly, the plants actually suffer because of it. They get stressed. Have you ever seen stressed corn? So pray for the farmers this week. It's going to be really hot this week, and there's not an ounce of water in the forecast. Stressed corn, do you know what corn does when it doesn't have enough water? The leaves curl up, right? So if you're driving this week and you see corn that is curled up, that is because of lack of water, okay? So it needs water to grow the way that it needs to be. It needs water so it can be strong and fruitful. You see where I'm going with this? They need water to be fruitful. The same is for us. Church, you must cultivate your soil. You must cultivate your soil. Otherwise, your soil will get hard and crusty. Don't be crusty. And water and nutrients will run off. And if we don't cultivate ourselves, we suffer. We cause our own suffering. If we never tend to the soil, listen, if we never tend to the soil, it's to our detriment. It's to our failure. Instead, we have to continually cultivate ourselves if we want to be a tree that bears fruit. Now, the first thing is it starts with a desire to be near to God. Then it's through prayer. Then it's through reading God's Word. And by the way, if you're not doing our 5-day Bible reading plan, Laverne grabbed the last packet this morning because he's lost his. You can arm wrestle him if you don't have one, and I will print more this week. Now's a great time to jump in and read with us through the rest of the year for our 5-day Bible reading plan. It's then that we start to bear fruit. It's then when we let God's Word go through us, and we spend time in prayer, and we're seeking and we desire Him, we start to bear fruit. Now, I have to ask, what do you do with a plant that bears no fruit? Does anybody know? Cut it down. So, in your garden, Laverne and Carol Sue, if you have a cucumber plant that doesn't look very good, or a tomato plant, I guess, what do you do with it? Get rid of it, right? What if it's not bearing much fruit, but there's some fruit on it? Cultivate it. Maybe we'll prune back a little bit to try to help it bear more fruit. Well, let me tell you what Scripture says about that. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 2. This is Jesus. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me," listen, "every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit." Church, don't be the one that he takes away. Be the one that bears fruit and God prunes so you can bear even more fruit. Here's the second way that I believe God wants us to respond. Always plant seeds. Always plant seeds. And I am so incredibly thankful for all the people over the years of my life that have continually planted seeds. Regardless if I was nothing but a bunch of stones and hard rocks that had no desire to want to be in a relationship with Jesus or submit my life to Jesus or follow Him, I want to do everything my way. But every time they planted, you know what happened? New soil was introduced every time. More and more soil. And all of a sudden, just pretend that there's rocks in here, there was more soil than rocks, and it didn't matter because God's Word, I was right and ready to receive God's Word. As I was cultivated and the seeds were continually planted, eventually I came to a point in my life where I represented the rich soil and I was ready to receive the kingdom of God. And because of that, it was able to grow and multiply in me. And I'm not just trying to stand up here and say, me, me, me. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, the same thing has happened to you. Do you understand that this morning? You never know. You never know where someone is. You don't know if they're rocks, the rocky mix, or the rich soil. You don't know. What I say, I don't care. Plant the seed. Plant the seed. Love them the way that Jesus loves them. They may be nothing but rocks. I can testify to this, and I think others in here can. They can be the hardest of rocks, and God can turn them into the richest of soil. Let the kingdom of God grow in you like a mustard tree. Let it be planted, let it grow, and be that tree that others would come to, and they themselves would take seed that they would grow. And what happens? As that's multiplied, guess what happens? It goes throughout all the world, right? Where is God's kingdom today? Everywhere. There's not a corner of this earth that it isn't. Now, there's 3.4 billion people who have never heard the name of Jesus. Guess what part New Sharon Assembly plays in that? By planting those seeds. God's kingdom will continue to grow, and it'll continue to expand until the day Jesus returns to take us home. In the meantime, it's our job to do the work, to cultivate ourselves, to plant the seeds. And church, if we're serious about this, if we're serious about engaging our community for Jesus, this is what we must do. Plant the seed, cultivate the soil. Amen? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Stacy, if you'd... This morning, maybe you relate with the rocks. Maybe as I'm talking about the rocks, and you relate to that, and the seed of God is planted, but there's no soil for anything to grow. Or maybe you're like the mixed rocky soil this morning, where the seed has a chance to grow, but you, right? You, your choices and your sin, it chokes it out. Maybe recognizing that today, seeing these different soil types, and recognizing maybe where you're at, your heart is ready to receive. Or if I say it in terms of the sermon, your soil is rich and ready to accept the Word of God. Let me tell you this morning, first and foremost, God loves you. He desires you to be a part of His kingdom. Listen, it says in the Bible that He desires no one to perish, but all should reach repentance. The Bible also tells us Jesus is the only way to the Father. It has nothing to do with how good you are. It has nothing to do with how nice you are, the nice things that you say. It is only through a relationship with Jesus Christ that we are able to enter the kingdom of God. And once again, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So church, this morning with your eyes closed, your heads bowed, I just want to ask, if you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you've recognized the soil type that you are, and through this, your heart has softened, you've gone from the rocky soil to the rich soil. I believe that the Lord Jesus can do that as soon as our hearts are willing to accept Him. So this morning, if you don't have that relationship, if you've never accepted the forgiveness of your sin, would you please raise your hand this morning? And as we close out today, before we go to eat, because I know everybody's thinking about food, before I can let you go, I think we have to respond. I don't know that we can encounter Jesus, be challenged by His Word, and then do nothing. I think that's contrary to everything that He does. So, let's respond today. Today is the day to cultivate. Today is the day to cultivate your soil. It's to water your soil in the presence of God. Today is the day to be renewed and refreshed in Him. Perhaps even this past week you found yourself stale, not going anywhere, not having anything happening. You're stalled, choked out by life. Anybody had a hard week? Anybody had a hard month? Have you ever had a bad day in your life, right? And you've neglected your relationship with Jesus. Perhaps you're hanging on to that secret sin and it's keeping you from growing. No matter when you cultivate, you're still hanging on to that sin, so they're canceling each other out. You're not advancing in your relationship with Jesus. And maybe none of that applies to you. Maybe today you bear fruit. I would encourage you what we just read in John 15. He prunes the branches that bear fruit so they can bear more fruit. So this morning, whether you come to the altar, you respond by standing and coming to the altar, or you respond by sitting in your seats, here's what I would ask of you today. Reflect. Reflect on where you're at. Pray. Ask God to reveal Himself to you. Ask Him to turn that soil into a rich soil. And church, most importantly, respond to what He's telling you. Let God's kingdom continue to grow in and through you this morning. I'm going to go ahead and pray for lunch. We're going to go into a moment of worship. And I would ask you to respond. We'll work our way out of here as you're done responding. But if you're not responding, I'd ask you to leave quietly. But I'd also ask you to stay a couple of minutes and sit down and just respond to His presence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, first I would just ask, Lord, that the hearts are open to You this morning. Lord, that You brought a challenging word for me, myself, Lord, and to make sure that I'm daily cultivating my relationship with You. Lord, I pray that You would free those that are bound by sin, that You would release those that are stuck and stalled. Lord, that they would bring their focus back to You. I pray for healing for those that need a healing touch this morning. I pray for encouragement for those that are down. I pray for comfort for those that have experienced loss. Lord, I ask that we would all desire more of You. And Lord, I ask that You bless the food today. I bless that You would bless the many hands that have prepared the lunch. And Lord, be present with us as we fellowship. Lord, bring us. Bring us to a point where we never want to go back. In your name we pray. Amen.